We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Eiruvei Tchumin, Halacha Vav, in middle of paragraph Tes. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki Horas Chiyus Elokus Yisborach, Mechune Gam Kein B'Shem Keren. When Hashem is shining spiritual life and strength into something, that's also referred to as a horn, like the horns. Kemo Shekosuv, Karnayim miyodoy loy, or referring to again Kavyochol Hashem shining strength into something. Veze bechinas ki koran oir ponov, and similarly, when the pasuk speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down from Har Sinai, the skin of his face shone brightly. The word keren there again is used to refer to a spiritual light. So now Rav Nosson Zal explains. V'sho'al Rabbi Zeres, Rabbi Yehuda, my taimo karno de kamtso rikicho. Why is it shehachius v'hischaskus shel bechinas cholo aponui hu bebechinas rikicho? Why is it that the life, the spiritual life and spiritual strength inside the cholo aponui appears to be so weak? Ki ein roim shom shum oyer. We just about don't see any light there. V'hu dak min hadak. It's as thin as it could possibly be. It's as fine as it could possibly be. V'hu nidche v'nisalim b'fnei kol hanichnas l'shom. And the light gets pushed aside and is and hidden from anybody that enters into this chol aponui. Kederech dovorach. Just like something that's very, very soft, shehu nidcha b'fnei koil, where when anything moves against it, it's like a sponge. You know, it gets pushed away. It moves aside to make room for the item. So why is it that the keren of the kamtza, the spiritual light that's found in the chol aponui, is so thin, is so tiny? Ve'eshiv, Rabbi Yehuda responded, Mishum de Dairi Bechilfi, Pirish Rashi Arova. Rashi says, because they live among these Aravot, among the swamps. Ve'ze Bechinas Kol Horechoike Me'agdusha Mo'id. The Arova symbolizes those people who are far, far from the Kedusha. Shehem Bechinas Arve Nachal. They are represented by the Aravot that grow by the streams, shein bohem loy tam v'loy reyach, which have no taste and no smell, shebohem nimshelu poishe Yisrael, kama shom razal, whereby the Gemara tells us that the worst Jews are compared to Aravois. This is discussed in a discussion about Sukkos, when we talk about the four minim that we take for the lulav, the esroig, the hadas men Aravois. It's brought that the esroig is something that has good smell and taste. You can eat it. The lulav, the palm, is something that has taste. You have the dates that grow on a palm tree, but there's no smell. The hadasim are something that have smell, but no taste. The arovois are something that have no smell and no taste. These four, the Medrash tells us, represent the four different types of Jews. There are Jews who have Torah knowledge, but not a lot of mitzvahs. There are Jews who perform mitzvahs, but are not knowledgeable in Torah. And there are those Jews that are a combination of Torah and mitzvah together. And there are those Jews who have neither, no Torah, no mitzvahs. That's what the Arova represents. The Arova represents the Poshe Yisrael, the Jews that are furthest away from the Kedusha. Ve'i kashyo, and if the antennas would be hard and stiff, hainu sheheshiv, Rabbi Yehuda responded, she'adarabba, just the opposite. B'mekoymois ko'elu, when people find themselves in these kind of places that are so far from the Kedusha, Iker ha-hischaskus hu daikal yidei zeh, yidei b'chines rekicho, shu b'chines harpu ude'u ki anoichi Hashem. The main strength of the person is by being light, by being gentle, by being soft. As the Pasuk says, harpu, harpu means soften yourselves. Ude'u k'yanech Hashem, and know that I am Hashem. And it's about this that the Gemara says, that a Jew should always strive to be soft like a reed and not to be stiff and hard like a cedar tree. Because a reed, even if a hurricane goes on, the reed will not get torn out of its root. It'll just keep blowing back and forth. You know, the wind will not bend it all the way down to the, you know, all the way flat with the earth. No problem. The second the wind stops, it'll bounce back up. Ki hu rach v'nichfaf b'fnei koil. Because the reed is soft, and it'll bend, anything can bend it over. V'yafal pikein hu amitz v'chozak moid b'sharoshay. And yet, in its roots, it's obviously very firm. And even the strongest wind in the world cannot uproot, cannot tear that reed out of the ground. Whereas if something is firm and hard like a cedar tree, then the opposite would be. It would snap when a powerful enough wind would try to bend it. Meaning that when a person finds themselves in that kind of place, that the person has become so distant from Hashem that they fall into a place of complete darkness, the cholol aponui, there a person is not permitted to think, to rationalize, to try to understand, to try to ask questions, to try to answer questions. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Al takshu levavchem. Do not harden your hearts. Do not allow kashyos into your heart. Ki ikra ha'ischaskus hudai kol yidei shu rach kekone. Because the main strength, the main hatzlocha, when a person is in such a place, is only in his being soft like a reed. Shal kol ha'shailos va'koshyos va'bilbulim shavam ha'isoy. That regarding all the questions and confusion that's trying to bombard the person, whether it's human challengers, or whether it be the major confusion that's going on inside the person's mind, the turmoil and the turbulence, al kulam lo yoshiv dover, the person should not attempt to respond, you know, with intellect, with sechel. As the Pasuk says, Vo'ehi ko'isha sheloi shemea. I made myself like a man who doesn't hear. Ve'ein b'piftei chochos. And I have no ability to reprimand. Ki ha'kashos va'bilbulim aboy mishom yev sheliashim kanal. Because those questions and bilbulim that come from the cholol aponui, it is impossible to answer them for a human being in a human body. V'yafal pikein hu chozok be'emuna ma'oid. And despite the fact that the person doesn't have answers for the questions, he's firm and solid in his faith. Kikone horach, like a soft reed, hanishrash b'mayim, which is rooted in the water, in the swamp. Shafal pi shenira kenichfaf b'fnei aruchos, so that even though it seems as that the winds that are blowing on it are bending it over completely, still, it's very, very firm in its roots. And it's not being torn out. It bends down. As long as the wind is blowing, it bends down. The moment the wind stops, we see it lift itself up and come right back up. So too, a person has to be firm and solid in his emunah. As we received from our forefathers and rabbis, v'lo yishme l'shum kashya u'bilbul klal habor memkom eskeilu, and the person should reject completely any questions that are coming from those places, from cholo aponui, v'lo yoshvaleim klal, and not to try to respond to them whatsoever, ke'ilu ein b'piv mane, as if he has nothing to say, ad shenit b'lehem ke'ilu hu nichfa b'fnei chas shom, to the point where it appears to these challengers as if, look at that, he's got nothing to say. We stuck, we won, we defeated him. Ube'emes ze ikur his chaskusoi. And in this particular case, it's not a show of weakness, it's a show of strength. Bebechinas rach kekone, he's soft like a reed that can't be broken. And it's for this reason that Dovra Melech, who is the concept of Moshiach, through whom the main tikkun of Klal Yisrael is going to come about through him, and we know that the main tikkun is to be able to correct those people who find themselves in these very, very distant places, to elevate from there those people who have fallen into those places. Alkein bo'eis shenim shar David. It's for this reason that when Dovid HaMelech was anointed, Nemar, the Pasuk says, V'anoichi hayoim rach u'moshiach melech. Today I felt myself to be very soft and anointed as king. Hainu b'chinas rach kekonanal. He was referring to this attribute of being soft like a reed. Whereby the one who's going to achieve this to the highest possible degree is going to be Moshiach. He's going to conquer the entire world. And he will bring the entire world to a tikkun by his being zoiche to this bechina of knowing when to be soft. And this is why the Torah tells us that when Yosef HaTzadik was being led around Egypt, they proclaimed him Avrech, Shehu Bechinas Av and Rach. It's a combination of two words. Hainu Afal Pi Shehu Rav Av Bechochma, even though he's fatherly in his wisdom and his knowledge, Afal Pi Kein, Hu Bechinas Rach, he's still soft. Bechinas rach kikon is soft like a reed. Kigam Yosef hu bechinas Moshiach, because we know that Yosef HaTzadik is also an aspect of Moshiach. Bechinas Moshiach ben Yosef kanal. Vezehu, and this is why Rabbi Yehuda answered, ve'i kashya, and if the antennas would be firm and hard, nadya, it would break umisavro, and the grasshopper would be blinded. Meaning that in those places of Cholol Aponi where the light is very, very hidden, if the person is going to have questions, and the person is going to try to delve into these questions to try to get them answered, misavra, he'll be blinded. The person will be blinded. V'yishur b'choshech legamrei, and will remain completely in darkness. Ki yef shirli yashev hakushes v'abubul mamon yishon, because it's impossible to resolve the questions that come from there. Alkein tzrichin shom liyos rach, therefore the person has to be soft, b'bchinas rach kekoneh, livli lohoshev dovar, not to try to answer. Rach liyos chozok b'shoyresh gedei losoy, but rather to be firm in his roots. V'sharoshoi l'ischazek b'emuna shlema, meaning to fortify his emuna, u'lavakei sh'lachapis Hashem izborach shom gamkein b'b'chin asayeh, and to seek out Hashem even from those places in the aspect of ayeh. V'oz daiko yizke l'tachlis v'aliyo. And if the person follows this, then he'll be zeche to the highest aliyah. V'zeh soid ma'ashom razal, with this we could understand the secret that's written in the Sifrei Kabbalah when they say, netiois horishoinois kekarnei chagovim. It speaks about the first traces of light that Hashem sent into the creation, and it refers to them as netiois. The first plantings were like the antennas of grasshoppers. Meaning there were such thin, tiny channels of light that were being introduced to the creation from Hashem so as not to blow everything to smithereens. Hainu Bechinas Karna de Kamsanal. This is tied in, this is exactly tied in to the horns, the antennas of the grasshopper that we just discussed. Vehovein Hetev, and Rav Nosson Zalman says, understand this very, very well. Ki afal pi shehem omru le'inyan hamshocha so'oyer shel tchila so'atzilus. Shehischil bedakus bebechinas karnei chagovin. Because even though what we just quoted, this statement, Netiyos HaRishonos Kekarnei Chagovim, is referring to the light of the beginning of Atzilus, in other words, referring to the highest, highest level of light of Hashem that was being introduced into the creation, into the world, whereby it started with these tiny, thin, thin channels that were as thin and tiny as the antennas of a grasshopper. Whereas we, in our discussion in the previous paragraph, were speaking about the cholol aponui shemishom tzimtzim hor kavyochel, which is talking about a place where Hashem removed His light kavyochel. Afal pikein hakol echod. Both of these seemingly opposite items are really one and the same. Kigam ho'or v'hachius hanelam b'cholo haponui bedakus v'helam nifla kanal nimshach b'shoroshoi misoid tchila asoatzilus shu b'bechinas karnei chagovim kanal. Because the type of light and life that's hidden in the cholo haponui, in the finest, finest, most hidden way, is a light that comes from, that originates from, the top of the top of the top, the highest, highest level of Kedusha, that's the Tchila Suatzilus, that's the Keser, that's Ayeh, as we discussed earlier. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ve'ein laharich bozeh, we can't elaborate on this, ki kvoid elikim haster dovor, because out of respect for Hashem, this type of thing has to be kept hidden. Because again, look what we're saying here. We're saying that in the most tamei places, in the places that have the least light of Hashem, they have, the type of light that they have, is the highest, highest, highest possible light. Gam chilfi, Rav Nosson Zalman says, the term chilfi that was used in the Gemara in Shabbos, loshen cholaf holach, also refers to something that's passing, that's fleeting. Kimishom cholaf v'holach kavyochel. Because kavyochel, the implication is that Hashem has fled, Hashem has left that place. Kipino elokusamishom kanal. Because for the most part, Hashem has vacated His presence from there. Avol be'emes, however, the reality is, gam shom ne'elam Hashem yizboro kanal, that Hashem is really hidden over there. Avol hu rak bebechinas karna dekamtsu rechicho. However, the presence of Hashem is only in this thin, thin, and like in the thin antennas of this grasshopper of the canal. Ubeinyin ze shel bechinas rechicho yesh harbe ledaber. Rav Nosson Zalman says, regarding this concept of this thin, thin light, there's a lot to say about this. Avol yef shel avayar biksav. However, it's impossible to put it into writing. V'hamaskil hechofetz b'emes. However, anyone who's intelligent, who really is seeking the truth, yovin midaitoy ma'at, will understand a little bit, ech tzrichen liyos rach kekoneh, how important it is for a Jew at times, not to be stiff, not to be firm, but to be flexible, to be able to bend, to be able to go with the punch, like, you know, flow with the punch, that kind of thing. Sometimes a person takes a punch in someone's face. If the person keeps his face firm, he has a broken face. And if the person rolls with the punch, as they say, they hardly get hurt. And kavyocho, when a person finds himself in these places, he's in a yerita, he's very low and far down, and this punch is coming his way, he's got to be rach kikone. V'yafal pikein, yeh chozok b'sharoshay moi. And even though there's this softness and gentleness and flexibility, still in his roots he's extremely firm. Adarabba, al yidei horakus, al yidei ze ikar choskoi v'sokfo yonetzer. His softness is what gives him strength, is what gives him permanence, is what gives him the ability to outlast the firm, thick cedar tree, which when that hurricane comes, he can't handle it, and he snaps in the wind. And the reed can handle it. He bends and bends and bends. And then after the hurricane has used up everything it's got, the reed comes right back up and he's smiling, smiling to everybody. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ato novoi levayer bishuosei hanayro, oid shaylachas mehagodo anal. Now with Hashem's awesome assistance, we're going to attempt to explain another one of the questions that was raised in this piece of the Gemara that we discussed earlier. The who, and this is the question. My taima hai timra de tarnagoyla midli liela. The Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Yehuda there, why is it that the lower eyelid of a rooster, when the rooster closes its eyes, the lower eyelid rises above the upper eyelid? We know usually in humans and animals, when they close their eyes, the lids close perfectly. And by a rooster, there's an unusual item that the lower lid, when the eyes, when it closes its eyelids, the lower lid rises above the upper one. So Rabbi Yehuda answered him, the dairi adapa, because these roosters go up on boards, on beams of houses and on boards. The e'ayil kutra, and if smoke would come up, misav from the chimney or from the house, from the fireplace, misavra, it would blind the rooster. And therefore Hashem put it in its nature that when it closes its eyelid, the lower lid closes above the upper one as a protection. Now Rav Nosson Zal's Rashi HaKodesh over there, this Gemara appears on Masechet Shabbos, the Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. Rashi, Temra de Tarnagoyla, Midli Leila, when the rooster closes his eyes, Oile Lamala Min Oelyon, the lower eyelid rises above the upper one. V'chulu, etc. So the Gemara answered, Mishum de Dair Adapi. Rashi HaKodesh explains over there, She'oile baleiloi salakroshim vakoirois. At night, the rooster climbs up on boards and on beams in order to do its crowing. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Zeh, this discussion in the Gemara, Yizboer, will be explained al piatoira azamra hanal, based on the chapter on the Likutei Moran entitled Azamra, which we discussed earlier, Chapter 282 in the first half of Likutei Moran, V'alpi ma shekosa b'Likutei Tanino b'Simen Yud Zayin, and in addition, we'll add to that what Rabbeinu Zal writes in the second half of Likutei Moran, Chapter 17, Hamaschil, which begins, Tzorech lizoher ma'oid lioy someach v'toiv leiv b'Shabbos. Rabbeinu Zal begins that chapter by saying that a Jew has to be extremely careful to be very happy and in a good mood on Shabbos, v'chulu, etc., etc. U'besoif, and towards the end of that chapter, chapter 17, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Issa Shom, Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, Derech Hashem Yisborach lahabit ala toivois shoysin. It's Hashem's nature, kaviyochel, and it's Hashem's policy to look only at the good things that a Jew does. V'af shenimtza bohem gam kein ma'shein oitoiv, and even if within a good deed that a Jew did, there were certain aspects of it that were no good, still, einoy mistakel al zeh. Hashem kaviyochel tries to ignore that. Kemo shekosu, as the pasuk says, lo hibit oven b'yakov. Hashem does not look at the bad, at the negativity of the Jews. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran that if this is Hashem's attitude, Hashem, who is the epitome of perfection, makol shkein, how much more so, sheha'odo mechuyev lahabit rak alatoiv, how much more so a human being is obligated to look only at the good. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran that because of the fact that people have good and bad, therefore it's a benefit, a tremendous benefit, the fact that Kavyochol Hashem has two ways of conducting the world. One way is through Hashgacha, Proti, whereby Kavyochol Hashem is supervising in detail and controlling every single thing that takes place. And the other way is Teva, whereby Kavyochol, to a certain extent, Hashem puts things on autopilot. And he lets things go their own course, a type of natural course. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, because if there were only Hashgacha Proti, if Kavyochol Hashem were sitting on top of every single thing that takes place, every single move that's being made, then a person who did bad things, clearly, Kavyochol Hashem would have to respond with bad, with punishment, with lack of shefa, lack of parnosa, lack of good health, etc., etc. But if Kavyochol Hashem has this alternative called Teva, then if and when Hashem sees that a Jew is not really deserving al pi hashgacha proti to receive goodness from Hashem, very often Hashem will simply switch that person over to channel B, to Teva. And therefore, the person left to Teva, sometimes, even if the person isn't completely deserving, will still be able to receive certain basic shefa from Hashem. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, Ukvar gilo lanu hu zal biatzmoi, Rabbeinu Zal himself revealed to us, She'inyin ze yesh loy shaychus l'shay lazois shel maitaymo temer de tarnagoy l'midlo le'ilo. K'nidvaz kvar etzel simenyu beizanel. Rabbeinu Zal Likut Imran revealed to us that this discussion, the discussion in the Gemara regarding the rooster is connected to, is tied into this discussion in Likut Imran about looking only at the good. However, we were not zeichev that Rabbeinu Zal should finish the shir, and that he should explain exactly how that conversation, the Gemara, ties into the topic. V'chazdei Hashem lo yisamnu. However, Hashem's kindness is unending. U'ba'aniyusenu. And despite the fact that we are so poor in knowledge, in wisdom, in merit, Ozarnu Hashem Yisborach Barachmav Hatsumim, Hashem has helped us with His awesome kindness, Levayar Ktsas Hashayla, to explain that discussion in the Gemara, Al Pi Hagdomoisav Hagdoishim Anayro Amoyim, based on the introductions, the awesome holy introductions that Rabbeinu Zal has given us. Ki Inyim Haderech Vohaitzo Hagdoishanal Shel Azamar Lakai Biyodi, Zehu Bechinas Hisoirus Hashena. Because the derech and the advice, the holy advice that Rabbeinu Zal gave us of looking for the good points in people, including in ourselves, this is a concept of being able to inspire a person and wake a person up out of a spiritual sleep. Ki kishoda munach bedaitoi bekatnus v'shiflus ad sheinu yochel espalil v'loshel Hashem Yisborach haidei zeh. Because when a person is in a state of moichen de katnus, a person's feeling very low and down and small, to the point where the person isn't motivated and inspired to daven or to do tshuva, ze bechinas shena, that person is referred to as being in a state of sleep, spiritual sleep. Vitzorich lehisoyer mishinosoy alidei oetzanal shel azamro. And in order for the person to be woken up out of the sleep, to come out of the sleep, and to be motivated and inspired to do mitzvahs and to do tshuva, the person must come on to this important advice of Azamra, which is, the Hainu, שיבקש ויחפש עד שימצא בעצמו איזה נקודות טובות. That the person has to search until they're able to find inside of themselves good points, good things about themselves. Bebechinas v'oid mat v'im rosho. As Rabbi Nazal explains in chapter 282 in Likutei Moran, the Pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, V'oid ma'at, if we'll just be able to find a little bit of good, v'ein rosho, then the person can no longer be categorized as a rosho. V'aydeze yechayes atzmoi, and by a person being able to do that, the person is able to inject new life into themselves, and the person is able to wake themselves up out of their sleep, out of their yirida. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, ani shochavti voishono, I was very solidly asleep, hekitzoisi, but I was awakened, ki Hashem yismecheni, because Hashem is supporting me. Bechinas hekitzoisi vo'oidi imach. As the pasuk says, "Hekitzoisi," I woke up, "Va'oidi imach," because there's still I discovered that this oid maat, this little bit of good inside of me, that's imach, that's attached to Hashem. That means I'm yes connected to Hashem, not that I'm totally detached, I'm totally distant. V'ze bechinas uro kevoidi. Uro hanevo v'chinur o yiro shochar. This is tied into this pasuk in Tehillim. Ki anakudo toivo shebechol echod hu bebechinas shachar. The good point that's found inside of each and every single Jew is referred to sometimes as shachar. Shachar means morning star. Shachar also means blackness. Bechinas shchoirani v'novo. Referring to the pasuk that says, I'm black, but I'm really beautiful. As Rashi HaKadosh explains in Shir HaShirim, that even at times that a Jew falls to a very low level, whereby the person's goodness is covered up with a lot of mud, a lot of dirt, a lot of filth that's generated out of their sins, still underneath that mud, underneath that dirt, is a beautiful diamond-like that shines, is a beautiful goodness, a nekuda toiva, the person. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what the pasuk means when it says shchoirani b'masai v'novani b'makom esamishkan, that Klal Yisrael said to Hashem, right after they worshipped the golden calf, they said, on one hand, Hashem, you could judge us as being black, dirty, based on our actions, based on our worshipping Avodah Zarah, but on the other hand, v'novani, we're beautiful, in the fact that we built a Mishkan. Right after coming out of such a terrible sin, we rebounded, we bounced back, and we put up a Mishkan. Ki anakudos toivos shemechapsnu moitzin zebechinas hakomas hamishkan. Because in fact, Rav Nosson Zal says, when a person looks inside of themselves, and they're able to identify good points about themselves, a goodness inside of themselves, that itself is an aspect of building the Mishkan. Shenivne mikol hanekudos tovos sheb'Yisrael, kemuvo mizeleil. Because in fact, the Mishkan that was built in the desert by Moshe Rabbeinu was actually comprised of all the good points of all the Jews. Each Jew contributed their goodness, whatever they felt they had a certain goodness that could help to build a Mishkan. Va'ayin kol ze bedvareinu behilchas hashkamas habeker. Rav Nosson Zal says, for more detail on this, go back to the beginning of Likutei Halachos, the beginning of the first volume of Likutei Halachos, Hilchas Hashkamas Habeker, Halacha Aleph, Shom Mavoyer Hoinyan Heitev. There we explain very elaborately, Eich kol ze hu bechinas hisoyros hashenu, bechinas kimas chatzois v'kanal. How this whole concept of Hazamar Lalakai B'yodi is tied into waking up from one's sleep, it's tied into getting up at midnight. And now Rav Nosson Zal connects it to the discussion of the Gemara. V'zehu, and this is why the Gemara says that one rabbi asks the other, my taimo timra de tarnagolto, mitlo leilo. Why is it that the lower eyelid of a rooster when the rooster closes its eyes, rises above the upper eyelid. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Tarnagol zebechina sisoirus hashena. The rooster represents waking up from sleep. Ki tarnagol memunal ze lo'ira b'nei odom yashena b'chatzois laila, k'mo yisham razal. Because that's one of the main responsibilities of the rooster, to wake up people from their sleep at midnight, k'mo yisham razal, as the Gemara says. U'k'mo yishikosu, and as the Apostle says, mi nosan lasech vivina. Who gave wisdom to the rooster to know when to crow? V'alkein kol hashiro shel ha'tarnagol hubenyin hisoirus hashena. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, if we analyze the perek shira of the tarnagol of the rooster, we'll see that it revolves completely around this topic of waking up from sleep. K'may shekosu b'perek shira perek dalet. As we find in the Perek Shira. Perek Shira is a special, elaborate song that's brought, where it tells us each and every single animal that Hashem created, exactly what their praise is to Hashem, what they daven for to Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we find in Perek Shira, Perek Dalid, it says over there, Tarnagol Oimer, the rooster says, "Besho shebo Hakadosh Baruch Hu waits la tzaddikim began Eden," that when Hashem comes to visit the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, "Zolfin kol ilone Gan Eden psomim," all the trees of Gan Eden, of paradise, give forth their sweet, their delicious aroma. Zolf means like the trees shake their leaves and give forth a blast of delicious smell. Umaraninin umeshabchim, and they sing and they give praise to Hashem. Ve'oz gamhu misoyer umeshabeach. And then the rooster also is inspired and starts to praise Hashem with the following words. Bekoil rishoin, the first cry of the rooster is, Oimer, he says, Su shorim roshechem, gates of the Beis Hamikdash, open up. Bekol shein v'chulu, etc., etc. Rav Nosson Zal is just quoting excerpts from the Perek Shira of the Tarnagol. Bekol sheini, the second cry of the rooster, Oimer, he says, Su beis, the second Su shorim roshechem, in paragraph, I believe it's Chof Dalet of Tehillim, L'David Mizmar. Bekoil Gimel, the third cry of the rooster announces, Imdu Tzadikim v'isku b'Torah. Get up, Tzadikim, and start studying Torah, Kedei sheyeh scharchem kofel olam haba, set you'll be zeche to a double portion in olam haba, in the world to come. Bekoil Dalid, the fourth cry of the rooster, Oimer, he proclaims, Lishuoscho kivisi Hashem, Hashem, I'm waiting, I'm yearning for your salvation. The koil hey oimer, the fifth cry of the rooster, he says, ad mosai otzel tishkar. You who are lazy, how long are you going to remain asleep? Mosai tokum mishnoscho, when are you going to get up from your sleep? The koil shishi, the sixth cry of the rooster, oimer, he says, al tehav sheno pentivorish. Don't enjoy your sleep because it'll impoverish you. Pekach einecho, open your eyes. Sva lechem, fill yourself with bread. Bekoil zayin, oimer, the seventh cry of the rooster, he says, Eis laso is lashem, heferu torasecho. That there are certain times when one has to do something of an emergency nature for Hashem that even requires putting aside the Torah. V'chol eilu hashirois, shoimer, v'chol azayin koilois, and if you study all the things that the rooster is crying out in these seven cries, they're all revolving around the concept of waking up from sleep. The rooster is involved in trying to wake out of their sleep people from midnight until it starts getting light. Shemi she'ein nesor b'chatzos mamish, so that even a person who is not privileged to get up at midnight, at exactly at midnight, al kol ponim yisur me'ashena shor achar chatzos, should at least get up the hour after midnight. Ve'im gamoz lo yisoyer, and if the person isn't privileged to get up then, al kol ponim yisoyer oid shor achar kach, then they should at least get up the following hour. V'chein koirei koil achar koil ad oir ayoim, and so too the rooster continues his cries once an hour until daylight. Shehem zayin koilos, which is altogether seven cries. V'chulom heim b'chinas isleirus hashena, and each time the message of the rooster is a message saying, wake up! Paragraph Yud Beis. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to analyze the tefillah of the rooster, all seven of these cries, and show exactly what it's referring to. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what's meant when the Medrash says, b'sho shebo HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzla tzadikim gan Eden, when Hashem comes to visit its tzadikim in paradise in Gan Eden, mezalfin kol ilone Gan Eden psomim, all the trees of Gan Eden shake forth their beautiful, delicious aroma. Rav Nosson Zal says, "Zehu bechinas ma shebechatzos lailo nisoyrim chasodim gedolim al Yisrael." What's being referred to here is the fact that at midnight, every single night at midnight, there is awakened tremendous kindness of Hashem towards Klal Yisrael. It's activated. And then Hashem comes to visit the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, lelamed zuchus al Yisrael, to join them in this process of trying to find merit in Bnei Yisrael, trying to look for all the good things in Klal Yisrael. Al yidei shemechapsin umoitzin b'chol echad nekudas toivos, by searching for and finding good points in each and every single Jew. Shezeu b'chinas uri tzofoin uvoi seimon hafichi gani yizlu b'somov. This is what's hinted to in this pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Shakadosh Baruch Hu mitzave la'ar baruchoy soilom. Hashem is commanding the four different winds of the world, the four different directions. Sheyofichu v'yenashvu b'gan Eden, that they should bring their winds and blow into Gan Eden, hanetua mi mitzvos u'maasim tovim shel Yisrael. And what is Gan Eden? In Gan Eden we picture trees and flowers and blossoms and grass. Rav Nosson Zal tells us here that all the vegetation that's growing in Gan Eden is actually a manifestation of the mitzvos u'maasim tovim of Klal Yisrael. Each time a Jew does a good deed, a mitzvah, ma'aseh tova, he plants a tree, or a flower, or a blade of grass in Gan Eden. Ki kol echod kefi ma'aseh ha'tovim, v'toirosoi u'mitzvoisov, k'moikein hu'noitea asabim v'ilonois kedoshim Gan Eden. Because each and every single Jew, to the degree that the person does mitzvahs and ma'aseh tovim and studies Torah, to that degree, that person is planting in Gan Eden. He's planting grass and trees, etc., in Gan Eden. V'achar kach homisaneg b'chelkoi b'Gan Eden be'is kibul schoroi. And then later, when the person passes away, the person is zoche to enjoy their portion in Gan Eden at the time that they're receiving reward. Shezehu b'chinas la'ovdo u'leshomro hanemar la'odom. With this, we could understand when the Torah tells us that Hashem placed Adam HaRishon into Gan Eden, it says that Hashem placed him there la'ovda, to work the garden, u'l'shamra, and to guard it. Shedorshu Azal v'Zohar HaKadosh says on that pasuk, la'ovda b'pikudin da'aseh, u'l'shamra b'pikudin da'lois aseh. La'avod means to do, to produce. To produce what? To produce positive actions. Mitzvos aseh, the Zohar HaKadosh says. That's what La'avda refers to. U'la shamra, We know that the Gemara says, wherever it says, he shomer pen al in the Torah, that refers to mitzvahs lo saseh. So when it says l'shomra, it refers to b'pikudin d'lo saseh, by a Jew following the mitzvahs lo saseh. Hainu kanal, this goes back to what we said earlier. Shekemoi sheho odom oived es Hashem Yisborach b'mitzvah saseh. V'shemer es atzmoi miloi saseh. Just as a Jew in this world is trying to serve Hashem with positive mitzvahs and to protect himself from chas v'shalom violating the negative, so too, kemoi kein hu oived v'shemer es haganei dinu kanal. To that degree, that person is involved in doing the maintenance on Gan Eden. V'alkein metzava shemizborach l'rucha yisofen v'doroin. And therefore, Hashem commands the ruchais, the different directions, tzofen v'doroin, north and south, sheyisoru, that they should awaken themselves, v'yinashvu b'Gan Eden, and they should blow into Gan Eden, sheyizlu b'somov, and get these trees to shake and give forth their beautiful aroma. Hainu sheyoyeru koyach uzchus shel kol hanekudas tovos shel hamitzvos shel kol hachamim Yisrael. Sheyitnu reicheyem hatovos. This means that these winds should activate the merit, the schus of all the good points, of all the mitzvahs that all the Yidden have done, and they should give forth their delicious aroma, so that the delicious sweet smell coming from those trees and vegetation that resulted from the mitzvahs and maisim tovim that the Jews did, that sweet aroma should now go back upon Klal Yisrael and inspire them once again to wake up from their sleep, from their lethargy. Va'oz kulam kula maranim, and then they all sing forth vehinasu pischei olam, open up the entranceways to the world, veyovoi melech hakovoi, and let the honorable king come forth. Mize melech hakovoi, who is this honorable king? Hashem tzavokos, etc. Vecholze medaber mehisoyrus hasheno. All of this is referring to waking up from sleep. As we find, the custom is that these psukim are included in the Seder of Tikkun Chatzos, the special tefillah that we say at Chatzos.